You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. 5 minutes after 11 Central African time. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning. The bliss of marriage, part one, between now to 12 o'clock. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and our beloved Fadilatul Honorable Ustad, Hazrat Malana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafizahullah. And let's welcome our beloved engineer. That is Brother Lokolo. We welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Ismail and Company. And we welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah. Well, Jama'a, our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. It's the 26th of Muharram, corresponding to the 15th of September 2020. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Arafat, jazakallahu khairan.
Let's go to our first listener. Ustad says here, dear Mufti Saab, if only one of the parties in a marriage is engaged in shirk and the other is not, what is the state of the nikah? Ustad, anonymous sister.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah alone knows what you mean by one party is involved in shirk. Allah forbid, let's say that the wife is going to the temple or she's going to the church and she's singing with them and worshipping with them, or the husband for that matter, he's going to the church and temple, then obviously that marriage now is finished and that person, whoever it is, husband or wife, has become a murtad, has denounced Islam and is out of the fold of Islam. Or a person goes to a qabr and then they make sajda there, worshipping the grave and asking the grave, that person in the grave, the waliullah, give me help, give me wealth, give me children, give me this, give me that. And they're worshipping, so obviously that also takes a person out of the fold of Islam. Or for example, that person made shirk, he says that Almighty Allah has sons or daughters or partners or whatever. So in all these cases, there's no two opinion. The person will be out of the fold of Islam, and remember, automatically the marriage will break and they cannot live as husband and wife. Therefore, daily we must renew our iman. Renew our iman means to enhance how we recharge our cell phone and recharge our many appliances. So similarly, we have to recharge our iman. So how do we recharge our iman? That sahaba asked, كيف نجدد إيماننا يا رسول الله? How do we recharge our iman and enhance our iman? So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, say abundantly, لا إله إلا الله, لا إله إلا الله. And then you say, Muhammadur Rasulullah. So that is through iman, when we believe from the inner recesses of our heart. So if anybody is doing these examples that I just cited and mentioned, then without a shadow of doubt that he or she is out of the fold of Islam. And if that person was born a Muslim or that person embraced Islam and they did these type of actions, al-iyazu billah, Allah forbid, Allah protect us, then remember the hadith in Bukhari Sharif, man baddala deenahu faqtulu. A person who becomes a murtad, we give them 3 days chance to repent, but they don't repent and so forth, they stay on that, then they must be capital punishment, death penalty for them. And the hadith in Bukhari Sharif, whether that person is male or female, the death penalty will apply. And that is the Shafi'is, the Maliki's, the Hanbali school. And the Hanafi school teaches us, for the male there will be death penalty, for the female she will be imprisoned, incarcerated, hatta tamut aw tatub, till she repents or till she dies. So that will be the issue. And for us, the lesson we must learn, fa'atabiru ya ulil absar, take lesson, take heed, O people of vision, sight, insight and foresight. And what is that? Chapter 59, verse 3. Daily read Surah chapter 3, verse number 8. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana, O Almighty Allah, do not let our hearts get deviated, ba'da idh hadaytana, after you gave us the guidance and hidayat and iman and Islam, wa hab lana min ladunka rahma, O Almighty Allah, grant us from your side the special mercy to envelope us, innaka antal wahhab, O Allah, you are the best of giver, and to die with iman and Islam. We read Surah Yusuf, chapter 12, verse 101. Tawaffani muslima wa alhiqni bisalihin. O beloved Allah, let me pass away with Iman and Islam and unite me with a devout and pious servants. Allah ta'ala make our khatima on Iman and Islam.
Ameen. My husband has an elderly parent who is dependent on him, Mufti Saab, but I hardly see him. He is there most of the time. The problem is I am very lonely and depressed. What should I do? Anonymous Ustad.
We don't know all the circumstances. If he is the only son and his mother is alive, maybe father passed away, or his father is alive and mother passed away, or divorce, Allah alone knows. So in a case like that, he, the husband, has to do time management. The daytime, he must take out 1-2 hours, 3 hours, whatever, according to his work and timetable and schedule. And he must spend with the father or mother, whoever is alive, make their khidmat. And night time, he must spend time with you, the wife and the children and so forth. And if he has to go to the father or mother, whoever is alive, then it must be a very quick and a short visit, not the other way around as the status quo is now. And that is unacceptable. He's spending hours and hours there by his mother or father night time and neglecting you, the wife, and if there's children, neglecting the children. So that is shirking your responsibilities. In Islam, the night time is for the wife and the children, and that is what Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam alluded to and referred to in the famous Hajjatul Wida khutbah, the sermon on the occasion of the farewell Hajj. Inna Allah qad a'ta kulla dhi haqqin haqqa. Verily, Almighty Allah has given every person who's eligible to certain rights, Allah has given them their rights. So we must learn the law of time management and fulfill the rights of Allah Jalla wala, and simultaneously fulfill that for the rights of the humanity. And when it comes to parents and wives and children, so I showed you what needs to be done daytime by the parents or parent, and nighttime with the wife or wives and children.
Ustaz, a listener says one of my friends wants to marry a guy from Qatar. And I said, why does she want to marry a Qatar guy? They do 4 marriages. My intention was not to make fun of Islamic ruling on marriage, Mufti Saab. I know that Islam preaches equality for keeping 4 wives. My intention was that she will feel bad and ignored if he will keep more than 1 wife. But she does not want to listen. Please, Ustaz, advise.
Obviously, you must remember that she can't get married to any person, and more so overseas, until and unless her father and them agree to that, because this is clear hadith mentioned in Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, Mishkat Sharif. La nikaha illa bi waliyin. The nikah is not valid except if consent is granted by the guardians, so the father, the paternal grandfather, the dada, the brother, and so forth and so on. Second, Certainly, whether it's a good idea to marry foreigners, whether it's Qatar, whether it's Morocco, whether it's India, Pakistan, and then you're going to live there and so forth. Remember, there's not an easy decision because nowadays the situation is very, very volatile. When will you come and visit your parents? If something happens here to your father, mother, they fall ill, they pass away, then what happens about their janaza? It means you won't be seeing them. So it's not only liking the person or liking the money of the person, you need to look at the pragmatic situation, and maybe he's got a wife, maybe he's got children. So you, the person who said that, you don't have to feel bad. You must remember what you said was the truth, that many a time they have 2, 3, 4 wives. So that is the fact, and nobody can dispute that. So remember, if she takes it in the opposite way, and she takes it selective hearing, selective amnesia, that's her problem, not your problem.
Somebody says, "Yo, Ustad, please, I need some advice regarding an issue with my mother-in-law. I am married for 7 years and I live away from her. We have always had a civil relationship. However, I have had problems in the past with her speaking badly about me, Mufti Sahab, to other people and telling me terrible things. I have always just made sabr and let it go. Please advise, Ustad."
In a case like that, you and your wife, you all need to have a joint strategy. You must come on the same page. So you tell your wife, see, that this is the evidence, this is the proof, what your mother said, what your mother did, and so forth. So you need to convince her, not with propaganda, but with facts and evidence. And once she is convinced, then the two of you, remember, have cemented your relationship. Then she can speak to her mother, you don't get involved. And with love and respect and diplomacy, she can show her mother that, Ummi, Mummy, you are wrong on this issue, that he did you no harm and you going behind his back and so forth, and then you are tarnishing his reputation and image and name and family and everything. So you, the daughter, need to explain to your mother and so forth. But still, sometimes they won't accept. Then my advice is this, that what you are doing, you continue doing that. Don't sever ties, but curtail ties. Instead of going there once a month, you go there once in 3 months, once in 6 months. And in that way, if they want to come to your house, it's fine. And remember, you read the following 3 du'as and supplications, all from the Quran Sharif. Every day in life, people will be plotting, planning, scheming against you. So you read chapter 40, verse 44. Surah 40, verse 44. وَأُفَوِّدُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. Verily, Allah, my matters, my affairs, I hand them over to you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Verily, Almighty Allah is all observing over the servants. Chapter 40, verse 44. The next verse tells you, Allah will protect you from their plotting and scheming. Then you must read, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Chapter 3, verse 173. So the next verse says, وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٌ, that no harm will come to you. And then you read chapter 29, verse 33, and that is the dua of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu salam against the gay community who were indulging in homosexuality. Chapter 29, verse 30, رَبِّنْ سُرْنِي عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Ya Allah, you assist me against these troublemakers and mischief makers. So read this type of du'as and Almighty Allah will protect you. And inshallah, if you make du'a for mother-in-law, Allah will give her hidayat as well.
Anonymous says, I am 21 years old and engaged. He says, pilot by profession, Ustad. I can't get married before the age of 26. This is a restriction from my profession, and just because of this official restriction, my parents are not marrying me, and I have a fear that we will commit sin because we talk in me, Ustad. And we can't control this natural feeling. So I want to ask, what are the primary requisites of nikah? Is nikah valid without informing wali, despite of the fact he allows me to marry? Ustad, can we make a nikah in secret?
So you must remember that you, I assume you are the male, and now you are 21 years old. Very strange this, you can't get married till you age of 26. So anyway, I know other pilots, they're Muslims I'm speaking about, they got married earlier, but maybe it's a different company or different policy, or maybe this is a new policy. So Allah alone knows, but we take your word for that. So now in a case like that, you will have to choose. So if you are the pilot, you you are the male and you 21 and you are meeting and so forth, so obviously you also understand that is haram, and you are dating and smooching and touching and all these type of things. So you must try and convince the lady that you want to marry her immediately, and her father and them as well. So for you, if your parents are not happy, so you don't have to worry too much about that. You can still go ahead and get married, and a nikah will be valid. Your worry will be more, the girl must be happy, the lady, and her father and them must be happy. So get the ulama involved and so forth. And thereafter, you must remember, you don't have to register your marriage and so forth. And you go on, you must remember that you stay you with your wife and whatever you. And then when you're 26, you can go and register your marriage and so forth. It's very strange that you are telling me this. If you ask that same company, ABC company, that you as a person, that you, if you have girlfriends, you sleep with your girlfriends, they will tell you it's legal, because you must remember that in democracy, they will tell you that there are two consenting adults. So according to them, to do the haram, that is legal for them. But if you do the halal and the proper way, so that is unacceptable to them. So therefore, I'm trying to solve your problem for you. Yet you get your nikah done, and you get the permission of the father and the daughter and all of that, and your registration can take place on when you're 26 years old. So in that way, it will be a win-win situation for you.
The pilot says, Ustad, can we make nikah in secret with two shahid and meher without informing our parents now? And I have read that the Hanafi school allows nikah without a wali. Ustad,
so you must remember, for you, I told you, is no problem. For her, the problem comes that if you marry the girl without her father's permission, then Hanafis will say the nikah is valid, provided that there's kuf, that you are compatible, suitable for one another, and still it is considered, the nikah will be valid, but it's still considered as something undesirable and frowned upon. So why should you do all these type of, and if it is, you are incompatible to one another, then the fatwa of the Hanafis also is that the nikah is null and void. So it means you will be starting your marital life on a real negative. Your father-in-law will blow his gasket and he will be very upset and so forth. So my advice to you, that get your local ulama or senior members in your family involved and let them speak to him and so forth, and explain to him that remember that his daughter wants to marry you, you want to marry her, and in Islam, when you do that, then you should get married as soon as possible. And if you don't do that, تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيدٌ, then there will be mayhem and chaos on this earth, as mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif, in Mishkat Sharif. So just try and convince him, inshallah, you cry to Allah, Allah Ta'ala will make it happen in an easy way.
Brother from Lensout says, Mufti Sahab, should we be paying our wives for cooking and cleaning for us, or is it their job, Ustad?
You must remember, my brother, that when you got married, you paid the mahar. If I had to perform your nikah, then I should address you and say, Brother Muhammad, Abdullah, Brother Zain, Brother Dad, Abu Bakr, Umar, whatever your name, you married to Sister Zainab, Fatima, Jamila, so you must pay mahar every month, every second month. So how is that? Because it's one lady. But look at the portfolios. That one side, she is looking after the house, then looking after the children, then cooking for you twice, thrice a day, the meal, and so many things, they're going the extra mile. So if you can't spend on your wife, then what good is there, my brother? So yes, it's a moral obligation upon you that you should spend on your wife and keep on giving her more and more gifts. You must remember, not that that becomes a means of conflict and tension or rows and ructions. So remember that you, Quran is commanding you, every husband, وَآشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, treat your wives with love, respect and justice. See, my brother from Lanesia South, that if your daughter gets married and the way you are treating your wife, if your son-in-law has to treat your daughter like that, will you be happy? I don't think you'll be happy. So that's the same barometer, the same criteria you must use for yourself and your wife. Please her and Allah will be pleased. That is what Islam is teaching us. Khayrukum khayrukum li ahlikum. The best of you are the best of you to your wives and your children. That is what Islam is teaching us. Authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif.
So Ustaz, my in-laws keep on talking about my husband's ex-wife when I am around. Can I distance myself from them?
Yes, Allah alone know why they're doing that, to spite you, or you must remember they don't like you, or what is the hidden agenda, ulterior motive. So why should you go there? So you should not go there very often. Don't sever ties, but you curtail ties. But in the same token, that you should not prevent your husband, tell him he must go to his father, mother, family, all of them, but you will go there once in 3 months, once in 2 months, once in 6 months, because they themselves are like insulting you, that they're speaking about his ex-wife and about us and all that, as though as she was very good. Then if she was very good, why their son divorced her? And maybe according to them, you are not so good. So this is, you know, that just to try and instigate trouble and provoke you. So obviously that is unacceptable. So you go there once in a while, in a blue moon, as they say, once in 3 months, 6 months and so forth, that's fine. And there'll be no sin upon you.
The brother says here, Mufti Sahab, we married for 3 years. My wife, she's a an air hostess. And he says that I have agreed. I don't mind she working, traveling out of the country, in and out. But now, Mufti Sahab, it's affecting me. I'm not saying that she's having an affair, but can I throw the towel in? Because I hardly see her, Ustad.
Obviously, when you married her, you knew that. So the question you should ask yourself, and she must ask herself, is this for a Muslim lady to be an air hostess, or a Muslim male to be the male steward, and in the airline industry, is it permissible? See, I'm giving you 4 or 5 questions. Number one, she will have to serve the wine and the swine. She can't say, I won't do that. So you must remember that you know that they serve the swine and the wine and all this type of thing. Is that permissible anytime in Islam? Obviously, no, it's haram. Second thing, she will have to follow a dress code. And remember, her hair will be open, her arms will be open, sometimes the feet are open, all these things. So you already compromised on that. Third one, you are traveling here and there without your husband, without a mahram. Is that permissible? Obviously, it's not permissible. Fourth one, what about your salat? So you must remember, they get so tired, exhausted. You must remember that I know when I flew with these people and that from, you know, New Zealand, Auckland to Dubai, so 16, 17 hour direct flight, they had 2 groups of these people, the stewards and air hostess, 8 hours, 8 hours, like that, or 8 and a half, 8 and a half. So whatever it is, so it's not a simple job, it's a difficult job. So how long are you going to compromise? The income itself is haram, is not permissible. So you must remember, both of you are to blame. When you said you're going to marry her, she told you she's an air hostess, and you already said, yes, fine, go and carry on. So that was your mistake. And her mistake to choose such a career, which seems like a glamorous career and a very attractive one. But remember, it is not acceptable in Islam because of 101 reasons I can give you. I just gave you a few now. So you must remember that best for both parties, she resigns. And then remember your love as husband-wife, not she is on the air and you on the land and sand. That doesn't make any sense, my brother.
Who's that advice, which is a better name to name a baby girl? This is from overseas. Tasneem or Yusaira, Ustad?
So Yusaira will be better. MashaAllah, Yusra, Yusaira. Yusra, Allah make things easy, easy-going person. Yusaira, in Arabic we call Tazghir. In English we call diminutive. And that is for love we call. See, easy example I give. I have a son, for example, Abdullah, the slave of Allah. And Ubaidullah. So Ubaidullah is Tazghir, diminutive. So the small slave, it means the humble slave of Allah, the loving slave of Allah. So Yusra, easy, and Yusaira, so very, very easy going. So both ways you can keep Yusra or you keep Yusaira. So that will be a much better name, inshallah. And Allah make the deen easy for her and make her an easy going person in the sense that when she is with the parents, with the brothers, sisters, and then she grows up with the husband, she's always easy going. Sometimes you get people really difficult to get on with them because you must remember they are really, really, you know, difficult people. So she will be easy going person, inshallah.
When a person dies, Ustaz, and if the person is married, is the nikah broken? Can the wife sit next to the body of her deceased husband to pray? Ustad.
Remember that once the husband passes away, and now after the ghusl and kafan and so forth, you want to sit there and pray, totally permissible. There's no problem with that. You can see the husband's face, all that. You pass away and the husband looks at you, or he reads your salatul janaza, or he goes inside the grave and bury you after the janaza. So all that is totally permissible. According to all four schools, there's no difference of opinion. The only place where there is difference of opinion is on this, that can the husband touch his wife's body skin to skin? That is the only difference. So somebody's wife passed away, ghusl took place, kafan took place, the husband wants to kiss her on her forehead, the wife, the last peck, you know, he wants to give the last kiss and so forth. So what will the Sharia say? What is our Islamic law in that? So the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, they say permissible. The husband can touch his wife after her demise. So the Hanafis say, no, that in that situation you can't touch. So we went to the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis and asked them, why do you say it's permissible? They say, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu warda, he rendered and gave the ghusl to Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. And Nabi alayhi salam said, alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafai rashideen. So you follow my way and the rightly guided khulafa's way. Authentic hadith, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah. When we went to the Hanafi scholars, then they said, no, the husband can look at her, all that, but he can't touch her. So we asked, why he can't touch her? So the Hanafi scholars quoted Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 23. وَأَن تَجْمَعُوا بَيْدَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ. You can't combine two biological sisters at the one time in nikah by a person. So Hanafi say once she dies, so you can now marry her sister. So once you can marry her sister, so it shows your nikah to her is finished now. So therefore that you can't touch her. This is called fiqh. Everybody got walikulli wijhatun. So everyone has got their own evidence and their own proofs.
Ustaz, we go to Ma, Newcastle. She says, better, you know Papa has passed away. So Ma says, if I die and people are owing me money, who should receive that money after my death? Ma from Newcastle, Ustad.
So Allah Ta'ala give Papa Jannatul Firdaus. We make dua for him daily and for all the marhumeen. And you should also be reading this dua, O Ma. And what is that? Surah 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 41. Rabbana ghfirli wa liwalidayya wa lilmu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. O beloved Allah Jalla wala, forgive me. Forgive my beloved parents and the believers the day the reckoning is established. Now Ma, mashallah, it seems that you had a lot of money and you were giving this one loan, you sold this and on credit and what have you. So if you pass away, first you must ask Allah for afiyah. Ya Allah, give me safety, comfort, protection of Iman and Islam and everything. And then Ma, you must read Surah 12, verse 101. Allah Ta'ala Iman hati utawe. Allah Ta'ala khatima bil khair nasib farma. So Allah Ta'ala make our khatima, our ending on Iman and Islam. Surah 12, Surah Yusuf, verse 101. توفني مسلما يا الله let me pass away with Iman and Islam وألحقني بالصالحين and unite me with the pious people now people A, B, C, X, Y, Z are owing so they will pay so your heirs whoever your heirs your sons your daughters you don't have sons you don't have daughters then your brothers your sisters so whoever the heirs are then the money will go to them proportionately after your burial funeral expenses after your debts are paid ma make sure you don't have any debts pay everybody now amre pay karilewanu so you pay everybody and then third one is wasiya for none heirs so that is maximum one third and fourth one is the shares of the heirs so ma Afrikaans ma apreke so in Afrikaans we say een man's dood is ander man's brood so ma if you pass away and when you pass away then that money that comes in will go to other people, your heirs.
One more question, Ustad, before we go, inshallah, for our interval. It is here, Muftisab, can my male cousin come and stay by us for a night only? Only a night. We have a spare room. My wife says no. She will have to move out if he comes in. I don't know why she's putting a performance, Muftisab. My male cousin is very a muttaqi person. Ustad.
Now, it's right what she's saying, that today you're going to allow for one night, and then you will come after 6 months, 3 months, two nights, then after that, three nights and all that. So remember what your wife is doing is correct. That because, remember, you will go to shop, you will go to job and so forth, and then she will be alone, he will be there, and then he will say he want breakfast, then he will say he want lunch, then he want supper, he want this. Who you not going to give all this? So your wife has got all the right to object and say that no, that I don't want him here because of the logistical reasons and the pragmatic reasons. So she is totally justified in objecting in this.
24 minutes to 12, we go for an interval. When we come back, inshallah, we will continue with the bliss of marriage. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
22 minutes to 12. A listener says, Ustad, that my husband snores very loud, Muftisab. Can I go and sleep in my son's room? We only have two rooms, Ustad, anonymous.
Remember that, that won't solve the problem that you want body heat, husband, wife, sleep together, all that, that is desirable. So in a case like that, you can use the earplugs. You know, you get earplugs, so in that way your husband snored and you won't hear much. Or otherwise, he must go for some medication and so forth, so that he don't snore and all. Or otherwise, you tell him that, you know what, you are going to sleep there in the other room, but remember the other room must have two separate beds and not one double bed that you and your son sleep in that bed together. No, that's not acceptable. So what you must do is, it must be two separate beds. So but the best thing is that either he goes for medication or you use earplugs, and in that way there, then you have a permanent solution. And the short term and, you know, loopholes business, it won't last. You must remember. Remember that. And inshallah, that both of you just try and, you know, meet one another halfway, and then the problem will be solved.
Ustad, can we contribute for the Shias or those organizations that are sympathetic towards Shias, Ustad? They say it's going for a good cause, Ustad.
You must remember that, what do we mean that those people who are sympathetic to the Shias, that the Shias are those people who swear and they curse the Sahaba, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhum, and so many other Sahaba. So that's first one. Second one, Shias are those that they reject 80-90% of our hadith. So they only use our hadith when it suits them. Third one, you must remember, they promote muta, prostitution, and they say you can get your daughter married to one for 1 hour. Khomeini wrote that in Tawdihul Masail, which they gave me, which I still have. And fourth one, you must remember, their hatred for Sahaba is so intense in Kashan. That's a place there in Iran. You must remember they have put up a mazar, a shrine, for the murderer of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and they call it Shuja'uddin. You are very, very brave. He was a person who's a fire worshipper and Majusi, and that's how they love him and they hate Umar radiallahu anhu, Allah forbid. So therefore, these organizations or these people who don't want to call the Shias, you must remember Kuffar and non-Muslim, then we must never ever contribute 1 cent to them. Don't give them lillah, don't give them sadaqah, don't give them zakat, nothing. Why? Quran Kareem states, وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. You must not cooperate in sin and in transgression. And you'll be surprised how many people, how many organizations, some are ulama organizations. So you must remember that they are so sympathetic to the Shias and so forth. So we say, as long as they're going to have ties with the Shias and they're not prepared to make, you understand, the Shia kuffar, then we must not give them a cent, because we become an accomplice in that crime. So it's a crime to have, you must remember, ties and sympathy for the Shias. Somebody keeps on swearing, your father, mother. Well, you keep ties with them. So what is our father, our mother? They're non-entities. And this is Siddiqa, Sayyida Aisha. This is Sayyida Bakr, Sayyida Umar, Sayyida Usman, the greatest people of this ummah. And these people are swearing and cursing them. So therefore, you will be an accomplice in this crime. And haram to give such people, to give to the Shias and those who are sympathizers or supporters or lovers of the Shia, is totally unacceptable and not permissible.
Ustad, anonymous sister wants to know that the Quran specific speaks about the Shias, Ustad, in the verse.
So you must remember the Quran Kareem speaks about the praising of Sahaba, Surah 9, verse number 100. Write it down. Chapter 9, verse 100. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ. The first and the foremost among the Muhajirin and the Ansar and those who follow them. Allah guarantees for them Jannatul Firdaus. Allah will give them Jannat. So when people are swearing them, they're rejecting this verse, it means. So you must remember, therefore they're out of the fold of Islam. Second one, when people criticize Sahaba, Allah defends the honor of Sahaba. In chapter 9, verse 79, chapter 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 79, أَلَّذِينَ يَلْمِزُونَ الْمُتَّوِّئِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. That those people who are criticizing, objecting on the Sahaba, who are contributing willingly, lovingly, sincerely, in the path of Almighty Allah, some gave substantial amounts, some gave little amount according to their means. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ إِلَّا جُهْدَهُمْ فَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنْهُمْ. Those who mock the Sahaba, who ridicule the Sahaba, Allah is warning you. How dare you do so? سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. Allah will mock them. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Ayat that is 100% applicable to the Shias. Surah chapter 9, verse 79. And therefore, to be sympathetic with the Shias, or consider the Shias to be Muslim, that is a sign of people who themselves, they are sitting on the fence, and to sit on the fence is an offense. And remember, their iman will be eroded and disappearing if they continue in that vein and in that path. Allah protect us.
Let's go to Marisburg, Ustad. My mom is a widow. I look after her, but told her if she remarries, she must move out, Ustad. Am I correct in my statement?
Yes, 100%, but you mustn't say it in such a manner that your mother starts thinking that you, the son, the daughter, that you are considering her a burden. So when they are old, then they need your du'as, they need your khidmat, and that is the time du'a lutuna here. Therefore, Quran Kareem states, Imma yablughanna indaka al-kibara ahaduhuma aw kilahuma, that when both of them or one of them reaches the old age, and you are there by them, you they are by you, then فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Don't even say a word that will hurt their feelings. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. And speak to them in a very noble, honorable manner. Chapter 17, verse 23. And then in the next verse, always make the dua. When your parents are alive, رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Oh, beloved Allah, have mercy on them am, as they nurtured me, as they trained me when I was a baby, when I was a child. So therefore, we need to think of it. You can't tell your mother that now you must get married, end of the story now. So that is good if she wants to get married, not you impose upon her and create the perception that she is the biggest burden on earth. That is wrong.
Muftam, I am getting married next week, Friday. Tell me about uninvited guests. Should an invitation be given to everybody who attends my nikah in Masjid Ustad?
Remember, for those of you who want your nikahs to be announced here on Markaz Sahaba on Friday morning between 10 and up past 10, Mona Arafat is a program, so you can send the messages to this number 084-786-3132. So send it now, and Friday, Saturday, Sunday, your nikahs are taking place, so mashallah, the announcement will take place. What you need to understand, brother, sister who posed that question, yeah, there are two separate issues. One is the nikah, and one is the meals and so forth. So the walima and so forth. So now let us draw a distinction. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, A'alinun nikah. Announce the nikah. Therefore, we're telling you, we also will announce your nikah. It's a happy occasion. People will make dua for you. And waj'aluhu fil masajid. And perform the nikah in the masjid. So these are all sunnah actions. And it is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. So till there, what you are doing is right. You are announcing it, you are inviting the people, and you are going to perform it in the masjid. So the boy will be there, the girl will be home, the girl's wakil representative will come to the masjid. So all that is perfect. However, the one thing you must be careful about now is, you want to invite people for walima. So it's very easy nowadays. You got your smartphone and your cell phone. So you send an invitation there and say, two people are invited, one person is invited, and so forth, so on. So no one else can gate crash and so forth. You know that today they're saying, tonight the president is going to address the nation. Maulana Arafat was telling me break time, 8 o'clock. So you must remember, it might change, then it's different, but if things don't change, so you only allow 50 people. So you can tell them that we got restrictions, so we can't invite everybody and so forth. So some people you invite for the nikah, some people you invite for the walima and so forth. But if that person there is not invited and he gate crashes, so remember that is unacceptable and not permissible in Islam.
So Ustaz, what is the minimum requirements for nikah? Can mehr be paid off?
So you must remember, the minimum requirement for a nikah will be that you, the boy, must be present, and the girl or her representative should be present. Then we need two male witnesses, and most important, the lady who's getting married, her father, her biological father, not stepfather and adopted father, no. Her biological father have to give consent and permission, then that nikah will be valid. If that one of them is missing, then the nikah will not be valid. Remember that. And remember the mahar, to mention it during the nikah, very good, but is not a prerequisite for the validity of the nikah, that you just say the mahar is what both parties have agreed on. Ma ayyatafiqan alayhima, that what these two parties have agreed on. So you must remember that that is the mahar. So it's not necessary you have to say so much money, so many gold coins and so much jewelry and so forth and so on. So whatever both parties reach a mutual agreement, that is the mahar, and that's fine.
Dear Mufti Saab, I have been beaten up and abused in front of my children for many years, Mufti Saab. Now I have brain damage. I don't know what to do. If I file for a divorce, I have nowhere to go and no man will marry me because of my condition. What should I do? I can't live as I have nothing. Ustad, anonymous.
So you must remember, why did you allow such a situation to reach such a level when your husband, Allah forbid, was assaulting you and battering you? You should have gone to the police, and even now you can go to the police. You have sons, you have daughters, you have somebody to support you. And if you have nobody to support you, the Muslim community will rally and they will give you zakat. But why stay with such a zalim and an oppressor and transgressor who's using you? We answer the questions as they are posed to us, obviously. So we know it's one side of the story, and therefore we mention this. So we don't know what is the other side. Maybe there's exaggeration, maybe propaganda, fabrication. Allah alone knows. But we take every caller, every person's question on the face value and answer accordingly. So if what you are saying is the truth, you should go to the police. They might lock him up. You must remember nowadays gender violence and all that is considered as a major crime. And for your income, and you stay there in the house, and remember that in a case like that, that if you got family, you got sons, daughters, you got brothers, sisters, they will then be there to assist you. And you don't have anybody, then zakat money can be used. So therefore, sister, there's no such thing in Islam that you must stay in a marriage and become, you be beaten to a pulp, you know, and to a boxing bag and so forth. So all that is totally haram and unacceptable in Islam.
Mufti Saab, stress, stress, stress. A nagging wife and kids and a grumpy boss. Where do I go for peace? Ustad.
For peace, you go to Dar es Salaam. Where is Dar es Salaam? The masjid. So you must remember, are you reading? Did you read Fajr Salat this morning in the masjid? 90% the answer is no. So when you yourself not going to the house of peace, Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ahabbul Biladi Ilallah, the most beloved place to Almighty Allah on this earth is Masajiduha, the masjid. And the most hated and detested place, wa abghadul biladi ilallah aswaqwa, are the markets and the malls and the bazaars and all these places where so much lying and deception takes place. So what you want peace, peace. So you are saying all that, but you are not using the asbab and the means to acquire the peace. So your salat as a male, you must be reading all five salat in the masjid. Number one. Number two is this daily recitation of Quran Sharif. Then three, you must start ta'aleem in your house. You must remember that. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, read Riyadu Salihin, read the Fazail works by Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakariya, Nawwarallahu Marqadahu. And then fourth one, whenever you enter your house, make loud salam. Awala adullukum ala shay'in idha fa'altumuhu tahababtum. Afshu salam abaynakum, make salam common amongst you. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif. So when you enter your home, you must remember that, then Allah Ta'ala will bring that mutual love and so forth. And then the next one, you must remember, give out charity daily. So these are the actions. If you do, Almighty Allah will protect you, protect your family, and the tension as you use, the tension and conflict, all will be reduced drastically, inshallah.
Let's go to Johannesburg, Ustad. It says, Dear Mufti Saab, from the frying pan into the fire, Maulana, my wife and I are going through a divorce, and at the same time, my two daughters as well. Who goes where? Where do my daughters go, and where does my wife go? Anonymous, please advise Ustad.
Allah alone knows. What I know is this. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Abghadul halali ilallahi at-talaq." From the things which Sharia, Allah's Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam made permissible, the most hated, the most detested, you must remember, is talaq. It should never be the first option. It must always be the last resort. The hadith is authentic in Abu Dawood. So now, if what you're saying is true, so your wife will have to go to her parents' place, or she goes to her brother's place. And remember, your daughters will come to your house. And remember, you should not consider them a burden, because Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Afdalu swadaqa." The best charity is when you spend on your daughter that is mutwallaqa, that has been divorced. So remember, there's always two sides to the story. We don't know what happened in the bedroom. We don't know what happened in the bathroom. We don't know what happened in the kitchen. So all that, so don't just sway your son-in-laws. Even your daughter could be wrong many a time, or daughters, it seems, in your case. So therefore, you must listen to both parties. But anyway, if you are worried about the staying arrangements, then your wife will have to leave that after the divorce. And remember, once your daughters are officially divorced, then they will come to your place and stay with you, and you must not consider them a burden, but rather a rahmah and a mercy. And that is the hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is what we will say, that at the end of it, wa asa an takrahu shay'a wa huwa khairul lakum. Many a time in life you dislike something, but remember, it is better for you in the long run. So that is what Quran Sharif is teaching us.
The listener says, Ustad, my wife is a cleaning fanatic. Everything should be in its place. I left a 350,000 cash check on my kitchen table, as not to forget to take it to the bank in the morning. My wife found it, and without checking, she put it in the burn where the garbage people came to fetch the burn. Mufti Saab, I can't get hold of the guy who gave me the check, as he has migrated. What do I do with my wife now, Ustad?
So you must remember that if it is 350,000 rand and that person migrated, surely you will have some contact details or something of that person there. And obviously it's not you just married your wife yesterday, that you married your wife 2 years, 5 years, 10 years ago. So if you left a check there and so forth, so nobody will able to cash it and all that, because it was on your name, it wasn't a cash check or something. So you must remember, you have to get in touch with that person somehow. And today, even if he migrated, he can do an EFT. He can see in his account that that money has not been, you understand, debited and so forth. So I mean, it's not such a train crash, you know, and a smash. Like, you can solve the problem, but what your wife is doing is good. Inna Allah nazifun yuhibbun nazafa. Allah Ta'ala is very clean and loves cleanliness. Inna Allah jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Allah Ta'ala is very, very beautiful and loves beauty. So you must remember that what we should do. All these ahadith in Tirmidhi. So what you should do is that whenever you got certain things, I just told my wife, see, I'm leaving these two kitabs here. Don't go put it somewhere else now. So just now before I left, so you must remember, we must be the one to tell them that don't go and fiddle with this or this. But if we want, when we come home, we want a fresh environment, a clean environment, and we don't want things to be, you know, in a haphazard. And so when you just enter, you'll get a headache and so forth. So it was not something your wife did deliberately, your wife did intentionally. Rather, it is a nature, and you know her nature. So how she is to blame, partly, you also to be blamed partly. We need to be fair to all parties. And inshallah, you read ya Wahhabu, ya Fatahu, whatever. So inshallah, that person there will then reimburse you, and you explain to him the circumstances. And in that way, inshallah, you will recoup your money.
Pinoni says, Ustaz, that nowadays no one wants to say the truth about a person, Mufti Saab. The parents and everyone hide things about their son. You only get to know the reality of a person once you stay with them. My daughter is only 20 years old, and now she's in Iddat. Ustad, I hate them.
Yes, you must remember, you're saying you hate them, but shouldn't you also take some blame? Let's just rewind, you know, I say rewind. People, they know how to rewind their TVs and their videos and their TV games and all that. So let us just rewind 1 year, 2 years. Gal Avi. You know Gal Avi? So now you must remember that is my mother tongue, my vernacular, Mammon. So now a proposal came for our daughter. So we looked at the people, the car, the finance, everything. Boaru, very good they are, and all. So we gave our daughter. Now I pose the question to you. Did you do your homework? Yes, the parents here hid things, all that. Maybe their son was on drugs, or maybe he's busy with other women, or whatever the case is. But why didn't you consult the ulama, or the elders, or some responsible people in that town, and find out about the background and all that about this youngster who became your son-in-law? So sometimes we want to be very, very naive and we say, no, they're very good, but without doing homework. So then we are also to blame. And now they live together for 6 months, 1 year, and then ended up in divorce. And now your daughter is in iddat, Allah forbid. So how they are wrong, 100% they are wrong. They should not have given the divorce so quickly. But you also are wrong for giving your daughter to such a family that you must remember without doing the thorough and proper homework. Now it's water under the bridge. We can't change anything now. So you as parents have to give a lot of comfort and confidence to your daughter. She's 20 years old. And remember, she went through all this turmoil, marriage, divorce. Allah alone knows that. Does she have a child or is she pregnant or what? So many other issues. So you as parents teach her the two du'as. Du'a number one of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, chapter number 54, surah 54 verse 10. Rabbi anni maghloobun fantasir. Oh beloved Allah, I'm overpowered, I'm overwhelmed. You defend me, you help me, you assist me. And you, the parents, the sisters, the brothers, she herself, because every night she's crying and then she goes to sleep. So remember the worry, the sorry, the oppression, the depression takes hold of her. So surah 21 verse 87. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minal ghalimin. You read that abundantly and all Mighty Allah will remove the depression, oppression. Ameen. And then Allah Ta'ala will give somebody better for her. And we must always remain positive. Allah make easy for you and your daughter as well. Okay, quickly let me run through the programs for today. 12 o'clock news, inshallah. Thereafter, 12 to 1, Brother Alfas and Kosi, current affairs. 1 o'clock, Zohar Azan. And thereafter, 5 past 1 to half past 1, Surah Ahzab and verses 1. The Surah Ahzab verses, you must remember, 38, 39, 40. So that is 5 past 1 to half past 1, verses 38, 39, 40. And then 1:30 to 2, Surah Baqarah, and that is chapter 2, verses 102, 103. Then 2 to 3, Sheikh Zakaria, in the mercy of Allah. 3 to half past 3, 3:35, will be this morning's program, Q&A, repeat with Mauna Arafat. Thereafter, 3:30, 3:35, till 5:30, Brother Alameen Templeton, inshallah, Aziz. 5:30 to 7, Mauna Khalid Yaqub, inshallah. And 7 to 7:30, the repeat of today's tafsir, inshallah. 7:30 to 8, Mauna Yunus Patel. 8 to 10, Mauna Bilal Katrada. Wonderful lineup. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Up next is the 12 o'clock news.